Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9 here at Web Expo 2015 here in Prague.
Hi.
It's beautiful here.
Yes, everything is beautiful.
I know. I'm here with Marie Schweiss.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
It's in English, it is called Switzerland, so my name is like the country.
Marie Switzerland. That's. Are you from Switzerland?
No.
Where are you from? No, I'm confused. Where are you from?
I'm born in Munich.
Okay.
And I live since 9 years in Berlin.
Oh, okay, okay. So tell us about your talk.
I was talking about animating interfaces and how you can start easily without any knowledge of animating or animation, motion design, anything.
So when you're talking about animation, are you talking about specific kinds of applications, like web applications, window type applications?
I talk about Android applications, but you can use the talk and what's in it for any kind of interface. I'm not talking specifically about Android application. I just use it as example.
So here's a question. There is this fine line between animation and your interface being annoying and being helpful.
Yes.
So tell us how to walk that line properly.
My talk was helping to discover how to make animation meaningful.
Okay.
And I find software for animating very distracting unless you're a professional. So I ask people to think about the meaning and apply the right animation for the meaning. And as long as you stay in the meaning, on the meaning road, it doesn't get annoying. And it is always about being responsive to the user. Animation, which is arriving without a request, is annoying most of the time.
Yeah.
So as soon as you have a request from the user and you give a response to that request, you can give it properly with meaning, so his intention, support it, and then you stay on the right road.
That's interesting. So you're saying, I mean, because people sometimes use useless animations. You're saying
exactly.
That in the majority of times, an animation should happen in response to a user request.
Yes, because it replaces our senses we use in reality. We can feel, we can smell, we can hear. And on applications, we can hear too. But we can't really feel. We just have this glass or some sort of surface. And to replace that feeling, that haptical feeling, we can help with animations.
That's so clever.
It doesn't mean we have to imitate real life.
That's really clever, yeah.
You know, the skeuomorphism. I had to train that word. Skeuomorphism.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to do this. That was our first approach. That was iOS. It was basically a digital replacement for reality. And then we went on, and now we are living in a flat, simple world. And we can still help us with response and animation to teach what reality is usually teaching.
Of course. So can you give us an example of a good interaction-based animation that you've done before?
A very good example is something every platform has. iOS has it, Windows has it, and Android has it. It's tabs. If you have tabs and you can swipe them, swipe left, swipe right, it is doing two things. One, it is teaching you information architecture. It is teaching you where the information is reachable. It is giving you an idea how the mental model looks like. And on the other hand, it is slow enough. It is slow like you use it. It is slow to help you understand. If you would just swipe and switch from one screen to another one, it's too fast.
Yeah.
And that swipe, which is a transition, is slow and let us walk with the change.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So basically, animation is a way to slow down interface and let the brain walk with us.
I see. That's so interesting because, like, I've done this swipe action before, But for some reason, I've never considered that that was an animation, but it is.
It is.
Yeah. So what are, go ahead, sorry.
Everybody knows it, yeah. So it's the best example I can give. It's everywhere and everybody knows it.
So one of the other things that I saw from you is, because you came to my talk and you drew some really cool pictures.
A naked yak.
I might put it up so everyone can see it. So I'm going to put it up so you can see it.
Yeah, he's
so
nice.
is that how you take notes?
Yes.
How does that help you focus?
How?
Because I'm the kind of note taker. I'll let you think about it. When I take notes, I like write words and stuff, and then I go back and I really don't get the feeling of what I was writing, and I can't even read my own writing. How does drawing pictures help us sort of understand the stuff when we're taking notes?
I don't know.
Is that something you do just to stay busy in your mind, or?
It's something I do to. Yeah, to take my mind off and process information. And I mean, I'm not a mathematician. Uh-huh. Your information is somehow not my material. But I have a mind which can work. I did understand what you were saying about the distance between two objects, mm-hmm. and how we can teach our computer to understand two groups. Uh-huh. I did understand what you were saying.
Yeah.
And I was just, in that moment, I drew in the background the circles, uh-huh. because I knew, okay, first I drew the objects you were talking about, and one of them was a naked yak.
Okay.
And then
all yaks are naked, okay? It wasn't just that yak.
Shave, yak. And then I figured, okay, those are the objects, so I have to make a circle. Uh-huh. And then you came to the point to give those objects a number, uh-huh. ID them. Uh-huh. And I said, okay, now I need to ID them. And the picture itself doesn't make a lot of sense, but it helped me to process the information and put it in there, and so I can keep it.
Yeah.
I can't repeat you. I can't repeat your talk.
Yeah.
But somehow I hope I got it.
Yeah. There's a book I bought, and I have to read it, and it's called Sketch Notes.
Yes.
And it,
from
it,
whom?
I don't remember the name. I feel really bad.
Maybe Eva Lotte Lam.
Maybe.
I know her.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, she's German. I met her in Berlin.
Oh, my goodness. That's fancy. So it feels like drawing pictures like that to help anchor sort of things you learn is just a really good idea.
And that is true for everyone.
Yeah.
I teach my clients to do that. Doesn't matter how beautiful or crappy it looks like. Uh-huh. It helps you in the meeting room. Uh-huh. They start talking, yeah, and it could look like, and I want having it like this, and then I sit there and say, draw it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Because some, no,
well,
I
they
understand.
Yeah, maybe they don't understand.
Exactly, okay. They have some things in mind which don't work properly together, and to help them process the information, it helps them to draw them.
Yeah, that's a really good tip.
So,
and it's not that you don't understand, it's like, hold on, maybe you don't understand what you're telling me, draw it.
Yeah, and there is a skill, it's called graphic recording, uh-huh. and you can rent artists and students and whatever to have them in your meeting room, in important meetings, and record what is coming up in the meeting.
But with
and
drawings.
Afterwards, everyone can take the notes. So that's something coming up now.
I've seen that at some conferences where they have someone just drawing, and it's beautiful stuff. I wish I had the talent for drawing. Is it something you can sort of learn, or is it just like a talent that you have?
I would say you have to be stubborn enough to be talented.
It should be a German proverb from now on. You have to be stubborn enough to be talented.
What else?
I don't think we can say anymore.
No,
thanks so much for spending some time with us, Marie. The talented and wonderfully smart Marie. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Yay.